You are listening to WWD LP Tacoma Park. It's 9 o'clock.
Starry, starry night. Paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills. Sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me and how you suffered for your sanity. How you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night. Flaming flowers that brightly blaze. Swirling clouds in violet haze. Reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me and how you suffered for your sanity and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you.
Good morning, everyone. We hope you're having a great day. You're tuned to WOWD LP Tacoma Park 94.3 on your FM station. We hope you're having a good beginning to the morning. We're in our new time slot as the Art of Experience radio program. And this is WOWD's on-air fun drive week. So we hope you can join us with your morning Joe, your OJ, or maybe an English breakfast tea, or even maybe a smoothie. We want to be your cream cheese schmear on your bagel. We want to be the jelly on your English muffin and the butter on your toast and possibly the blueberries on your scone or the chocolate on your croissant. Well, we hope you can get juice talking about art this morning. You're tuned to WOWD LP Tacoma Park, your FM community radio station, and we hope you're enjoying us on the airways. We hope that you can take a minute to call at 240-696-4200 because we're looking for your support. And to run WOWDLP, it costs money, and we're here for you. And this program today is about how we want to be the best for you because we are the best radio station in the D.C. area. We hope you've enjoyed Meg on the airways and her eclectic mix of music. This is Tom Xenakis, and I'm with Sheila Blake, and we are the host of the Art of Experience radio show. We hope you've enjoyed us on our previous programs.
Hi. The Artist's Experience is an hour radio show dedicated to looking at art, and we hope that Tom and I can introduce our listeners to what we've been looking at and help the viewer, when they visit the exhibit, create in their soul, in their experience, their own work of art. We also have an Artist's Experience page on Facebook where we put images of the things we're talking about. It's also a place we'd love our listeners to give us ideas and feedback. So please look at it while you're listening. We at WODLP Tacoma Park are always listening, looking to improve our community radio station. Tom and I were asked to help out this week as we inaugurate a major fundraising drive at WOWDLP Tacoma Park. We're most happy to do so. Why? Because we love doing what we do here and being a part of your busy day. Let's go to the website tacomaradio.org and make a financial contribution to be a part of this great community in the D.C. metro area and Tacoma Park, or you can call at 240-696-4200.
Well, we're going to reintroduce a show that we did months past called Critics, Criticism, and Criteria. Today we want to talk about what makes something beautiful and good, and that's why we're here at WOWDLP Tacoma Park. Well, let's talk a little about why we were voted the best radio station, because that has something to do with critics and criticism, right, Sheila? I mean, that's mm-hmm. what it's all about. And the newspaper, DC Express Weekly, that's how they thought of us, as the best. Well, and we're going to tell you why. We're going to be critical right here. WOWD wants to include every aspect of this diverse community in our listening area, and this is what dictates our programming. This is a radio station made up of volunteers, mostly from the community, that come from all walks of life, all creeds and colors, and we're proud of that fact. We want to throw out a wide net into our community and make it exciting and meaningful for everyone. We want to be you, and you want to listen to us, and we want to serve this community and continue to do so and be better and better. So this program is about criticism, and it's about what makes something great, and we're really happy to talk about it this morning.
The Artist's Experience radio program, which is every other Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., has been here from the beginning. We love talking about art and sharing our experiences about art venues and artists and friends and academicians. We are passionate about what we do. And guess what? So is every other programmer and radio station host of a program in this radio station. Passion is what this radio station is about. We can be different, and yet we can be united and together for a common cause. And what's that? To provide the best music, the best talk shows, and the best in information about our community to you. And beyond our signal, by streaming us live on your computer or other devices. So please contribute to our great experiment. Call us at 240-696-4200. Or go to tacomaradio.org.
Well, thank you for that, Sheila. Today we're going to review what sound criticism actually is in a piece of art or any visual and how we respond to this. Well, Sheila, I think we need to just kind of backtrack a little on the kind of criticism to help our listeners understand what critics, criticism, and criteria are in the dialogue between a viewer and a piece of art and how they respond to it.
Sure. Well, art criticism can be a philosophical discussion about politics and aesthetics, or simply like a movie review, something that affects our choices about what we do on a rainy Sunday, or it can be anything in between. What language and criteria do we use in response to this visual? Today we're going to introduce helpful, important ways of thinking about your own valuable and astute criticism. In the history of art, criticism was a very elite group of people talking and writing about art to enlighten the masses. But historically, this small elitist group lets lots of people out of the conversation. First of all, the exclusion of women from art was a holocaust of talent.
Absolutely was.
Oh, my God. It was a denial of half the human imagination.
Sure.
And up until the 1970s, white, powerful men were doing all the talking and also all the showing of their work. Women and minorities never had a voice, never mind a chance to legitimately experience art, either as the creator or a participant in any dialogue. Of course, there were a few artists that were token exceptions, you know, like Georgia O'Keeffe. Well, we have a woman artist. But not in the discourse until feminist writers like Lucy Lepard made themselves heard. And even though there's greater inclusion of artists and writers, the glass ceiling is still there. Well, women and minorities have never been included in the history of art. For centuries, the art world and art market was dominated by men. Just look at Giorgio Vasari's The Lives of Artists, or more recently, Jonathan Jones' all-male list of the greatest artworks ever. But that's beginning to change. Women now occupy top positions in every sector of the art world. And though they are still paid less than their male colleagues in similar roles, they are slowly helping to right the industry's gender imbalance. You can see it especially in the museum directors. Right here in Washington, Melissa Chu is the director of the Hirshhorn. turning the museum into an international contemporary art museum with bold explorations. And Dorothy Kaczynski, the director of the Phillips Collection, which was the first American art museum, is continuing the museum's mission of taking contemporary art into the present. Artists themselves are not included in the conversation as well. Artists have often written about their work and the work of artists that form their circle.
Well, thank you for mentioning about the fact that, minorities, immigrant populations, and many people that came from other parts of the world with a take on other parts of art in the world were never included. Like we've done in previous programming, Sheila, I think we need to define some words and some new vocabularies for our listeners. You know, this show is a bit didactic at times, but we want to kind of help you get that sense of what's beautiful and what is good and also what is right in art. Firstly, we're all critics. We criticize our world all the time. It's just the nature of how we respond to everything in our world. But we like criticism of ourselves, but, you know, is it, you know, how safe are we in criticizing something like an inanimate object, like a piece of art? You know, we hear it all the time, like, don't judge me. It's something that even I hear from my students. Judgment is a form of criticism, and we're not going to talk about some kind of theological judgment. We're going to talk about the argument about what art could be. Then these terms are important. So let's first define the verb to critique or to be critical. To critique means a review of an article or essay passing judgment of an artistic work, to make a judgment of its merits and its faults. To be critical is occupied with or skilled at finding merit or fault. Truth and merit were used in some of these definitions. How about you, Sheila? Give us some more definitions there.
Sure. Well, who is a critic? Well, we're all critical. One skilled in judging the quality, merits, and faults of things, being decisive and critical, a censor, a judge, a connoisseur. Today, we are going to give our listeners the tools to be more expert in criticism. In other words, to become a better critic. And what is the criteria of criticism? The standards for judgment and criticism, the principles of testing things. The basic elements of art, or the design elements, are also known as the graphic or formal elements. That's one of the criteria. Another one is principles of composition, art or design principles that make for a visual whole, unified as a work of art, from top to bottom, from left or right. The aesthetics of visual experience, or what I like to call the sensuality of the experience. I know the word sensuality scares the heck out of most Americans, of course, due to this post-puritanical ethos that still prevails in some of us today. It's about things in our environment that stimulate the senses, all of our senses, to help enrich the experience, and in this case, with our mission in mind, an art experience. The creative problem in the visual dialogue. What is the artist or work trying to convey? Your personal relationship towards the work is in a kind of intuitive, natural, visceral, and guttural reaction to a work. This is very important in studying art. So, what is a critic? Well, as Tom says, we are all critics.
Well, thank you for that. That's absolutely right. And while you're listening, we want you, our listeners, to be critical of WOWD LP Tacoma Park. And you're part of our community, so your feedback is very, 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 very valuable. And you might want to take a moment to go online or give us a call at 240-696-4200 and make a donation, because this radio station right here on 7014 Westmoreland Avenue is here for you. So stop by. You could make a donation here, or you can give us a call. Well, other kinds of definitions for us, because we want to become a classic in community radio, and that's another word that's very important in art, is what is a classic work? Well, a classic work, it comes from the Latin, and it means something that basically stands the test of time and has been reviewed and reviewed and reviewed, and it's always been deemed positive, beautiful, and good. Similarly, a masterpiece could be that of one person's work that stands the test of time and is representative of that artist. Sometimes we use the word groundbreaking to, you know, be a positive element about talking about work, which groundbreaking is fun. You know, you crack the soil and you let something grow from it, possibly the original idea of the definition. But that's usually a seminal work in an artist or in a art period or an art group. Okay, and then funnily enough, Sheila, words we use often in criticism is cutting edge. I don't know, cutting edge is a word that sounds dangerous, actually, and I'm always thinking of myself shaving, but that's kind of bad. But anyway, we use that in contemporary art circles to make, you know, it's on the brink of something, you know, really important. Okay? Well, Sheila, I'd like to say that I think criticism is something we don't like to tackle in this culture. And I think that we have to be a little more open to criticism. And this is a really, really important. WOWDLP is 15 months old, and the Artist Experience radio program has been here since the beginning. And we're having incredible fun, right, Sheila?
We are.
And we're committed to making this a great local venue to experience radio and as a community. And this is why we're here, for the journey and the long haul. And we think we're an important program in that. So as you have grown to enjoy a diverse programming as your local radio station, we now ask you to help us grow by making that financial contribution and donation. Your support of us is unique, and we want you to be part of this inventive programming that we have at WOWDLP Tacoma Park. There is no other radio program like this on all of the metro area, like the Artist Experience radio program. We totally know that we're unique, and we're really happy to be here at this radio show, station, to be doing that. So take a moment between your sips of coffee and your little nibbles on that scone. I'm hungry, actually. And just go online and press the donate button at tacomaradio.org. Your support will provide us and you, our listeners, with the kind of listening pleasure you deserve 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without commercial interruption. We thank you. We invite you. Tell your friends how good we are and how good it feels to listen to WOWDLP Tacoma Park. Sheila, let's talk a little more about that critical stuff.
Sure. Well, there are art critics who do not make judgments, either good or bad, about an artist or an artist's work, but rather they try to probe, as Helen Vendler, the poetry critic, said, that mysterious, almost miraculous power of producing striking effects by means of impossible detection, which is the last word of the highest art. I think that the purpose of art criticism isn't to judge a work in the sense of that is good or that is interesting, but to stimulate thought about the artwork and art in general. And that's what Tom and I do here a lot. In this sense, criticism functions in a way much closer to art's function. The artist acts and the critic reacts. Anyway, that's what we're trying to do too.
Okay, yes, that's right. And thank you for that. So let's begin finding out who exactly are these critics in the history of art. Well, historically, the powers that be were always the critics, the church especially, and for years and years, and the wealthy patronage systems of the church. And then we have art historians with degrees in art history or museum work, talking, speaking, writing, and podcasting about art. And then we have museum people, you know, the people on the heads of the museum, the curators of certain divisions in the museum. And then, of course, I really like this one, Sheila, the culture vultures. And these are socialites and celebrities that go around, you know, they talk about art, they love art, and they really have to get it off their chest to talk about it. And they want to be seen and they want to be heard. And then and then we have, you know, different organizations that have exhibitions and art venues. And, of course, they're the journalists with some backgrounds in the arts. Here in every big city has journalists talking about art. And then we have the academicians, people like us, that have their ties to institutions of education and learning. And they usually like to address the visual experience. And, you know, we have to really go beyond that, because there could be actually a chemist, you know, who maybe doesn't have a degree in art, but he's an academician, and he wants to talk about the chemistry of painting and could critique that, let's say, at an exhibition, let's say, of like Vermeer, that there's a show that has Vermeers now here in D.C. Because at that time, you know, that was an important part, the learning of how to use different kinds of paints. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of criticism. So, Sheila, let's talk a little more about that patronage system.
Well, Tom, you were the first person, when I first got to know you, who talked about patronage, and it was such a powerful talk you gave. And so I'm going to continue on your thoughts, which is...
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, really. Is that without patronage, there would be no art. There would be no Renaissance, for that matter.
Oh, for sure.
Patrons are essential to art. Traditionally, it's been the church and the powerful and wealthy families. And now it is oftentimes government agencies, the National Endowment for the Arts, the grant process, the Guggenheim, the MacArthur Genius Grants, Fulbright's to spread art all over the world. And there are private collectors and donors. And that's where you come in, because our small station, WOWD, is asking for your patronage.
We have
a low, low budget. Our programmers all work for free. And we have, I think, two or three low paid people running this station. It's amazing. And everybody does it for the love of giving you the best programming we can produce. It's community radio, and we're asking you to become a part of our community by giving money to our station. Become patrons. Make sure that our unique programs will continue. No donation is too small or too large. You can donate at our website, tacomaradio.org, or phone in your tax-deductible contribution at 240-696-4200, and we thank you.
Absolutely do.
So, why is there a need for criticism? Why does the human condition have a need for this all the time in communication and expression? Well, Terry Barrett, who is a critic, wrote a book called Criticizing Art, Understanding the Contemporary. Barrett's principles of interpretation are listed here, so sit back and listen. I also want to say that I don't agree with every one of these, but it's a pretty good list. The first one is artworks have aboutness and demand interpretation. Interpretations are persuasive arguments.
Yep.
Yeah. Some interpretations are better than others.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Good interpretations of art tell more about the artwork than they tell about the critic. That's important. Feelings are guides to interpretations. There can be different, competing, and contradictory interpretations of the same artwork. Interpretations are often based on a worldview. Interpretations are not so much absolutely right, but more or less reasonable, convincing, enlightening, and informative. Interpretations can be judged by coherence, correspondence, and inclusiveness. An artwork is not necessarily about what the artist wanted it to be about, and that's something I kind of want to put a caveat in here. I think the more that you understand what the artist wants his work to be about, the deeper you can go into this art.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, good. A critic ought not to be the spokesperson for the artist, which continues that thought. Interpretations ought to be present the work in its best rather than its weakest light. The objects of interpretation are artworks, not artists. All art is in part about the world in which it emerged. All art is in part about other art. That is so important. No single interpretation is exhaustive of the meaning of an artwork. The meanings of an artwork may be different from its significance to the viewer. Interpretation is ultimately a communal endeavor, and the community is ultimately self-corrective. Good interpretations invite us to see for ourselves and continue on our own.
Oh, thank you for that, Sheila.
The radio comes from the Tacoma Langley Crossroads, home of Tiffin, the Indian kitchen, serving traditional Southern Indian cuisine cooked in clay ovens since 1998. Located at 1341 University Boulevard. More information and menu at tiffinrestaurant.com. T-I-F-F-I-N restaurant.com. Support for Tacoma Radio comes from the Tacoma Langley Crossroads, home of Tiffin, the Indian Kitchen, serving traditional Southern Indian cuisine cooked in clay ovens since 1998. Located at 1341 University Boulevard. More information and menu at tiffinrestaurant.com. T-I-F-F-I-N restaurant.com.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short station break now, and we're going to listen to our next song.
Welcome back. You're listening to WOWDLP Tacoma Park 94.3 FM.
Well, we at Tacoma Radio want to provide the highest quality sound and reception to you, our listeners. But since Labor Day, some of our listeners and we at WOWDLP Tacoma Park have been hearing some other things out on frequency for 94.3 FM. If you've been experiencing that from your signal end, you might be being invaded by something called WCTN, Tried and True Top 40. We want to assure you we are not them. We want to hear about it from you because this is not WOWDLP Tacoma Park. So we need to get together with the FCC, and you need to help us. So write us and tell us what your experience on your end of the radio. Send an email to T-Rex, that's T-R-E-X, at TacomaRadio.org to support our case and keep WOW powerfully clear for all our supportive listeners out there like you. Well, in the history of art, there's been many critical examples of beautiful writing about art that have been both controversial and important in the history of art. Sheila, why don't you share a few of those for us?
Sure. Well, I'd like to give you a short list of books and writers who've been really important to me. I love to read biographies of artists. Night Studio by Philip Guston's daughter, Van Gogh's Letters, Georgia O'Keeffe, the biography of Willem de Kooning by Mark Stevens and Anne Lynn Swan is about his life in the context of post-war 20th century art in New York. But really, it is a recent history of what led to New York becoming the center of Western art. And Kirk Varnedoe's book, Pictures of Nothing, The Case for Non-Representational Art, that is one of my favorite books.
It's a classic.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Robert Hughes, he's an Australia writer who was the art critic for Time magazine. He does a lot of art criticism without you know, good, bad. He leaves that part out of it for the most part, except if he's really angry at an artist. His books and his many reviews over the years of writing about American art, he raised his writing to a provocative, demystifying way. It's funny and opinionated, and he has an eloquent style. He's a wonderful writer. And my favorite critic is Jed Pearl. I always tend to agree with him because he sees art in his own way, and he's beholden to no one. He's not beholden to artists, which a lot of critics, they have a sort of a, you know, back and forth. You paint for me and I'll write for you. And Jed Pearl, he's a longtime critic of what he sees as the financially driven compromise of artistic standards among artists, collectors, galleries, and museums. I'm going to quote him. Amid the gold rush atmosphere of recent months, however, something very strange has emerged, something more pertinent to art than to money, a new attitude now pervasive in the upper echelons of the art world about the meaning and experience and value of art itself. A great shift has occurred. This has deep and complex origins. But when you come right down to it, the attitude is almost astonishingly easy to grasp. We have entered the age of laissez-faire aesthetics, where people are led to believe that any experience that anyone can have with a work of art is equal to any other. A painting is simply what everybody or anybody says it is, what everybody or anybody wishes it to be. So that's why I like Jed Pearl.
And historically, give us some examples also in the past.
Sure, yeah. Well, in 1877, James McNeill Whistler sued the critic, artist, and writer John Ruskin for libel when he published a piece about the defaming paintings exhibited by Whistler based on their abstract and experimental nature. His criticism was subjective and narrow, and he was blind to Whistler's artistic merits. The judge technically settled the trial against Ruskin, awarding Whistler one farthing, like one penny.
But it
broke them both financially and damaged both of their reputations. Until that time, the critic was considered a cultural authority, but the trial was a source of satire to the public. Ruskin, taking himself way too seriously.
Oh, he was a serious bloke.
Legally speaking, the conditions had been laid for a new kind of criticism directed not at the truth, at right judgments, or what the artwork was, or at what the artwork was excellent itself, but rather at the articulation of values that were experiential, personal, and subjective. And then we have degenerate art, which was considered by the Third Reich in the 1920s and 30s when Hitler came to power. And he was an unsuccessful artist, but he thought he was a connoisseur. And he made a proclamation that the only art that would be permitted was the sort of pseudo-Greek idealism of the human body, or that degenerate art was anything abstract or even experimental. He fired teachers, purged the country of what he called degenerate artists. He confiscated hundreds of thousands of works of art from the European countries that they plundered and stored them in hidden locations. After the war, some were sold, but many were burned, and the families had to go to court for years to be able to reclaim their paintings, many of which had found their way into American art museums, and many, many more were never returned because provenance couldn't be established or the works were hidden. Huge caches of art even now are occasionally discovered, and there are over 100,000 pieces of art whose ownership has never been established. The 72 paintings in the small French paintings room at the National Gallery, for instance, their original ownership has never been established.
Well, thanks for that. You know, Ruskin and Hitler gave criticism a really bad name for a long time, but right now here in Tacoma Park and in the D.C. community, WOWDLP is giving criticism a good name. And here in our fundraising drive, on the on-air fundraising drive from, we started on the 25th and we're going to go to the 31st, we want you to tell us about how good we really are, because we seem to be getting the good vibes and the good karma here in the community. So once again, you know, pick up the phone and call us at 240-696-4200 and show us how you can support us with a financial contribution. You know, there are other historical examples, Sheila, in the history of art, and one of them to me was a fascinating story, which is the story of Azeuxis and Parthenis. These were two artists in Greece, ancient Greece, that were competing, and you know, the literature talks about how, you know, they were fooling the critics with their paintings were so real. And it was another example where even in the ancient days, artists were criticized. And then, of course, we have the Salon de Refusé, which was the French Impressionists of 1872, somewhere around 1874, possibly, when, you know, all those, they decided, the artists said, you know, the critics are slamming us. Why don't we just have our own exhibition and we'll tell them a thing or two? And they absolutely did. And, of course, we have... right here recently, we have the famous critical assailment of the famous Andre Serrano photograph, which was called The Piss Christ, and Chris Ofili's Madonna piece that were really slammed by the critics. There were people that were demonstrating in front of the museums, at the galleries, that to close them. I mean, this is people talking about criticism, but was their criticism, you know, appropriate? But thank goodness here in America, you're allowed to criticize and not, you know, be thrown in prison for it. And, of course, there was the critical response to the AIDS crisis with the art of ACT UP. And many artists were out there, you know, talking about it and painting about it and writing about it. And a lot of criticism came from that. So, but contemporarily, right now, here and then, right now here in our own communities, we have the criticism about these Confederate statues and the Columbus statues mm-hmm. that are everywhere, these bronzes. And that's a really important time about criticism in our community. We tend to forget, but these are art pieces. Those statues, many of them beautifully done in bronze, are really art. And so we're criticizing the art and the subject of the art. Unfortunately, I believe that the art is really kind of getting lost in this whole debacle mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. debate about what's going to happen with these Confederate statues. So we've outlined for our viewers the kinds of critics hopefully that we can sway our idea, enlighten us to how we're looking at art as experience. And I think that's really the important part. We want you to experience art, and this is the whole mission of our show. And so good and capable critics should give us an entree into how do we enter the work. So I'd like to begin to talk about, you know, our own personal adventure into criticism when looking at a piece of work. In other words, how do we invest into the analysis and criticism of a piece of artwork? Well, this means, one, you have to put in some time, two, some space, and you have to really study. And I think that's it. The scrutiny and the study is something that we really don't do as often as we can. And we've discussed this in previous programs, but we're going to kind of repeat it again today. The whole art as experience is really a worthwhile thing, because it's about a dialogue, and there's nothing better than dialoguing in a community, in a society, in a world which seems to be lacking that dialogue. So we hit at WOWD certainly want a dialogue, LP Tacoma Park want a dialogue with you. And so don't hesitate to call us if there's something on the air that you'd like to talk about. Maybe you have an idea for us to make for better programming. You can always email us or give us a call. So, Sheila, what about this assumption about criticism sometimes that we have?
Well, you have to assume that every critic has his or her territory. And either you agree some of the time or all of the time or not at all. You can learn a lot, but it really does come down in the end to your individual preferences, but they should be informed preferences.
That's important. Yeah, that's actually really
not
important.
Not just like, oh, I don't like that color pink with the yellow.
Yeah, okay, we're going to talk about that. Because we all are critics in the end, and I think that's a really good thing that we have the ability to form an opinion. Mm-hmm. It's all fair game. You know, think about your last dining experience, everyone on the listening today. Well, how did you critique that dining experience? Well, what were the words you used to critique it? And I think one of the greatest areas that we use in criticisms where we get too emotionally involved, right? We all fall into this trap. Mm-hmm. I mean, we use words that are really emotionally laden. Do they really mean anything? Like, I mean, we say it all the time, like, I really love that. Now, do you really love it? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, it's that love word is thrown around all the time in art. You know, I really love that painting. I mean, you know, how many of us say I really love that dress or that blouse? You know, think about it. It really doesn't make sense. So when you're looking at an oil painting or a canvas in a museum, can you really love that? You know, I don't think so. So what kind of words could we substitute? Well, there are other words that get us in trouble, like the word like. Like, you know, your idea of like and my idea of like could be totally different. Another word that we use once in a while, too, which is totally out of bounds, is the hate word. You know, oh, I hate that. Oh, it's terrible. Well, it's really not a good word to choose when you're talking about art. And then there's a group of words that I put them in the S word category. We can't say them on the air, but we could be a little imaginative. But, you know, you don't want to use those words. And stupendous and successful are two S words, and those are not the words I'm talking about. But, you know, you want to really, really, you really want to kind of use those so that we can get a sense of, don't want to use those, so you get a sense of honesty about that. So we'd like to say that we want to take a look at our community, and we want to challenge others in the neighborhood to support this exceptional programming. If someone gives $50, Marika is going to give another $50. We have a supporter here, Marika, and she's going to challenge you to, she's going to match that grant, okay? And she loves how she's intellectually stimulated by this program and the concepts that you talk about. Light, patronum, women of art. Thank you so much, Marika, for bringing this up. And we appreciate you listening to our program. So, you know, call in at 240-696-4200 and pledge $50 and donate $50, and you'll be matched by Marika. Thank you so much, Marika, for listening. Okay, Sheila, now, one of the things when we talk about criticism, we also talk about beauty, and we use that word, yes. And we talk about goodness. Talk a little about that, because that's a really important part of criticism.
Sure. Well, when you see a work of art that speaks to something, an internal sense of beauty that resonates with something inside, for me, that doesn't necessarily adhere to the formal qualities we've talked about, but it always, for me, has to do with color, as in Bonnard, line with Matisse, light as in Vermeer, ecstasy as in Van Gogh, but also something else, something that opens a place in my mind, something that I haven't seen before and I'm having to ponder and return to.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's, you know, that's where the mind is working when you're looking at art. And again, it's about that dialogue. So let's talk a little about that criteria Sheila talked about in the beginning, the elements of art or the design elements. Well, Sheila, why don't you begin and talk about the basic elements, the simplest elements that we look at when we look at a piece of art.
Sure. Well, line is the simplest element. The moment you touch a canvas with a line, you're making a huge statement about what's going to happen with that canvas. And then shape. Shape is the flat shapes that the lines define. And then there's form. And form is the illusion of three dimensions. And then value. Value is, we've talked about this a lot, it's between black and white. The lightness to the darkness of whatever is on the canvas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And speaking of value, we value your ability to listen to us and all our programming, and we have a lot of different diverse programming. So once again, please get on that phone or and call us at 240-696-4200 or go online, tacomaradio.org, and hit the donate button and donate. Why don't you use our call numbers, 94.3? How do you like that?
That's a really
donate
good idea.
Donate $94.30. Do it, and then next week, maybe next month, just call your friends, tell them, hey, I had so much fun donating $94.3. That's a very unique number, and it's a beautiful number here at Tacoma Radio. The other elements that are important as well, besides value, is the more complex ones like color. We all love color. I'm not supposed to use the word love, but I did there. Anyway, colors would make us what makes us get juiced morning, noon, and night. And so color is really an important aspect of looking at art. And then we have more complex things like texture. Well, we could look at a piece of art and look for its texture. We do that all the time when we're talking about the texture of food, when we're criticizing a meal that someone cooks or we go to a restaurant. That's an important aspect of the culinary arts, but also in the visual arts. And then there's pattern. Pattern is really out there all the time. And Leonardo da Vinci was one bloke that really loved looking at patterns in nature. When you go for a walk, look out there and look at the patterns that are abound in the artful creations of nature. I think that's really important. And space is also another aspect, you know, the relationship of things in space. You know, the idea of a masterpiece really kind of comes together when all these elements and all these compositional things just fit into play once. And we opened the show with Starry Night by Don McLean, which is a classic folk song that, of course, is referencing the great painting by Vincent van Gogh, Starry Night, which is in the Museum of Modern Art. And there is another smaller and more kind of sketchy version, but it's about the unity of the whole. So we're going to review right now some of the principles of composition that make something whole. We always enjoy the whole thing, top to bottom, left to right, when we're looking at a canvas. We just don't go to one aspect of it. Everything has to work together physically, emotionally, and possibly spiritually when you're looking at a piece of work, okay? And this is really important. So there are about 12 principles, and the reason I bring it up is when you think of the word harmony and you think of the word symphony, these are words that bring it together when you're thinking about music. Well, it's the same thing for visual art as well. The first one is format. You know, what's the way that the artist expresses themselves? Is it a long canvas? Is it a tall canvas? Is it a wide canvas? And then, of course, its size. How big is the objects on the space? How big are they created? And, of course, there's weight, the weight of a canvas. Sometimes you hear about, oh, that looks really heavy, that piece of artwork, or it looks light and airy. Like a lot of times Asian art has a very light and airy and atmospheric thing going for it. And then there's space and perspective. How are you looking at the particular objects?
Okay, and another is balance. Balance is something that if you're looking at a work of art, you can really feel it in your own body. You can feel that something really, it's a hard thing to talk about. It's the balance on the canvas that there's not just one thing that you look at, but that you start with one place, but then you look all over it, and somehow you get to the balance of the canvas. It's like the feeling in your own body that this work is right. And it's a hard thing to talk about, but if you really concentrate, you can feel that. And then, of course, the emotion, the mood of the work of art. And the emphasis and visual focal point. Well, in a work of art, a really good work of art brings your eye in and gives you the path to travel around and come back.
Thank you for the journey and the artwork.
Uh-huh. And then there's the variety. You're not, that a really good work of art is not just saying one thing. It's saying a lot of things. It's really very rich in the way that you can look at it.
And that's where Van Gogh shines with a great variety. And then we have the static versus dynamic composition. A static is a lot of ups and downs and horizontals and verticals. And then the dynamic composition, which is a great word. It means powerful. And, you know, when the things are moving around, whether it's on the canvas or in the sculpture. And then very important are the rhythms and repetitions. Think about our own bodies. It's constantly, we're living in a kind of rhythmic kind of bodily functions. And that's what art does. It kind of mimics a rhythm of nature. And of course, the placements. These are the important criteria where things go on a canvas and where they're placed. And that's really, really important when you think about how we look at the whole. We're going to take a short break, and let's listen in for a second.
Tacoma Radio comes from things from Egypt and beyond, handcrafted items from diverse international cultures, thingsfromegypt.com, and from South African Bazaar Craft Cooperative.com, art, beaded artifacts, and home decor from South Africa, online and on display. 7002 Carroll Avenue, Tacoma Park.
Okay, so I'm back. I was reading about this self-help guru, and his idea is that if you win the morning, you win the day. So, well, here's how to win the morning. Listen in to WOWD. It's a crazy, intelligent assortment of programming, music from around the world and around town, talk shows like ours. Tom modestly says there's nothing like it in the Washington metropolitan area, and I beg to differ, Tom. There's nothing like it, period. Art critics tend to be stuffy, and they say things like, the drawings inform the paintings. And there are shows that include a menu of art about around town, you know, which serves a purpose. But Tom and I are artists, and we're teachers, and we love looking and learning. We learn so much all the time, and then we distill what we've learned, and we have a great time doing it and give it to you. So WOWD is full of surprises. So if you can win the morning with WOWD, contribute some money because we're in it for the long haul, and be a proud part of this station and keep listening. Donate with a tax-deductible contribution and win the day. Log on to TacomaRadio.org or call 240-696-4200.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Sheila. Well, I think it's a good time to introduce why we call something a masterpiece. This involves a bit of historical and critical judgment over time. For instance, when you think about the great masterpieces in architecture in the world, the Taj Mahal, the Colosseum, the Great Wall of China, the Parthenon, the pyramids of the Mayans and Aztecs, you know, these are architectural masterpieces. They just don't pop up and everybody calls it a masterpiece. It's about time. And we hear it all the time, the word masterpiece. Well, it gets thrown around a lot, but we don't want to overuse it or abuse the term, because it is about critically being acclaimed over a period of time.
Well, to me, certain Vermeers, maybe all the Vermeers, or Rembrandts, or Cézannes sum up what a masterpiece is. I always remember when the Cézanne show was here at the National Gallery. It was his paintings from Provence. And after I looked at them for a while, I saw that it was almost, I hate to say this, but it was the hand of God. He could paint something that was so ethereal, and yet it was paint. And that was a really wonderful thing for me that I always return to. And then Ingres portraits or Constable landscapes or the Bonnard breakfast room, I have to mention all the time.
Yeah, your favorite.
But these are paintings you can return to again and again, and they always are new, and they crystallize a whole set of artistic and cultural values. and they're technically brilliant and above reproach. I believe in the transformative power of art. And those paintings that move you so much that words fail you, those are the masterpieces. I always remember the artist Frank Stella, who writes really well about art, saying that he had been mesmerized by a Velazquez. And because he couldn't paint like Velazquez, he painted stripes. I love that.
Oh, that's really beautiful. So in conclusion on our program today, I'd like for you to think about the pyramids of Egypt or the Colosseum of Rome, the Mayan temples, or the Taj Mahal, the Acropolis, the temples of Angkor Wat in Cambodia, or Petra in Jordan. Maybe you've visited these places, and maybe you've witnessed these masterpieces in front of you, or the Anasazi art of the American indigenous people in the Southwest. You know, we keep on seeing these things, and we keep on criticizing them, and we don't go to the Taj Mahal or the Parthenon and look up there at these wonderful structures and say, wow, what a waste of marble. Well, it's not. Because humanity has deemed these important and on all critical levels. It's humanity that says these are really beautiful. And so this is why the destruction of art by some radical groups over the last few years has really kind of put a destruction to cultural heritage and the cultural evidence of the people that come before us. And so the critical value in this is that the history of the people on the planet must be maintained, the past, the present, and the future. The power of expression by this kind of this humankind that we're all involved in here is really critical to our own existence. And again, that need to be expressive and critical are what our inventions and our achievements are all about artistically and creatively for the planet. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned to our next exciting programming at WOWDLP Tacoma Park. We have Bobby Hill coming up. Our friend Bobby is going to really spend some quality time with you with this terrific programming. Okay, coming up right next, this music from 10 to 1, avant-garde jazz. He also has a program on Wednesday that's a very, very exciting one as well, called Borderlines, from Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to noon, no border, no lines. So stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Again, you could listen to next Sunday, our friend Gail Behrens, The Night Ride Home, from 8 to 10 p.m. Gail serves up an eclectic series of music from a host of musical genres. We invite you to go to our website, tacomaradio.org, and look at our programming schedule for all our programming needs, and also to press the donate button when you go there as well and be a part of this community. Well, let's end the show with another way to kind of think about the show. Again, this is our on-air fundraising drive.
Okay, so win the morning, win the day. Listen to WOWD and contribute to our unique programming. Nope, there's nothing like it. And we programmers love to reach out to you, our listeners. There's nothing like radio on the radio and nothing like us. With programs like Bobby Hill's This Music and Borderlines, Ride with Clyde, Ballads in the Morning, and that's just the start of the morning. There's Tacoma Cabaret, Eric Bond's Talk of the Town, Scratching Beneath the Surface of Who's Here, and Danny Griffin's Walking on the Moon, Adelaide and Ruby's Sugar and Spice, two friends who are teenagers telling you what it's like and what they're like. And that's just a small sampling of what happens here. And then, of course, there's our Artist Experience show that's guaranteed to inform you and entertain you. And with all that, we need money to keep this station running. We've been selected by the Washington Post as the best station in the Washington metropolitan area, and it's an honor that we definitely deserve. So show us your money, and we'd be happy to have whatever amount you can contribute. Call now at 240-696-4200 or log in at TacomaRadio.org, and we thank you.
Okay. Have a great day, and see art in everything you do, and experience the visual.
Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa. Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep.